You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hello, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach. Today we'll be talking to Joe Fusaro, who covers the Marlins for MLB.com. Matthew, the Marlins are a team that we aren't used to seeing make deadline pickups. That's exactly what they did this year.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by what's going on here. I mean, they parted with a couple of big pieces and really made a kind of a big bet on Jared Cosart. And obviously that's not just a move for this year. It's a move for in the future as well. But, this is a team that's not – they're done sort of blowing it up to build it up. They're ready to start moving towards the next good Marlins team. And I think the feeling there is that that's going to be pretty soon.
Joe, a lot of discussion on both sides. Some people think that the Marlins made a great trade. Some people think that they gave up too much. What's your thought on that, on the deal?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're dealing with, the unknowns of prospects and young starters. I know the Marlins were looking for a controllable starting pitcher in Jared Cosart. They feel they have a good, three, probably a number four. But, with Jose Fernandez going to be out for at least probably to the All-Star break next year, they're trying to get as much depth as possible. So, they looked at Cosart as a guy that made a lot of sense to them. And, for what they gave up, they didn't see Moran as part of the plans next year or possibly even the year after based on his development. And they kind of like what they have in Casey McGee, and they're going to try to lock him up long-term. And Mariznick, as attractive of a talent and an athlete as he is, they're hopeful of keeping Stanton around for a while so they feel their outfield set. So they felt those two guys were blocked and felt, this was the best way to go about adding a controllable starter. And plus they brought Enrique Hernandez in, a good utility guy who may even challenge for the starting second base job next year.
And then, what made them sour so quickly on Moran? I mean, this was a guy – who not only was a top 10 pick last year, but really got some conversation for 1-1. A year later, he's part of a piece for a guy who you just said might be a 3 or 4 starter. What happens in a year to make a guy's star fall that far?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Matthew, and something that could come back and bite him years from now. The power numbers for one. The Florida State League isn't very kind to power hitting anyway, as you well know. But, it looks like Collins is going to be a very solid average-type hitter. And, it's funny to say that when the cleanup hitter for the Marlins has 2 home runs. But, McGee's a little bit more of a run producer. I don't think they saw the high end that probably would have come with the pick number 6 overall. So I think that's what made him a little vulnerable.
Now, Joe, you talked about how this is a move for down the road, but it's also a move for right now. You mentioned Jose Fernandez being out. Henderson Alvarez is hurt. We don't think it's serious, but the Marlins can use a pitcher now down the stretch if they think they have a chance to make the playoffs.
And Cosart, that's one of them, and I think we might see Brad Penny get a call-up from AAA at some point, returning to the big leagues for the first time since 12. That announcement may come this week if they go that route. Guys, another thing that's interesting here with the Marlins, in the terms of the word development, and obviously they're trying to develop for a better day, and they feel that day is coming pretty fast. Winning is part of development. So they would like to, and even as far-fetched as getting to the postseason this year will probably be, if they could hang around, if they could play as many meaningful games instead of guys playing for numbers, and we've all seen teams that and covered teams that went on and won it all. And that playing games that matter in September compared to just padding some stats and being a spoiler, completely different animal. And I think the Marlins want these guys to kind of taste that, and hope they carry it all the way to the end, even if they get eliminated sometime in early September mathematically. So I think they want to kind of develop it that way to just try to be as competitive and make the Echevarrias of the world, the Yelichs, the Ozunas play as many meaningful games as possible.
Joe, with Cosart, I mean, he's a guy who, the arm is undeniable. He's a guy who's got some exciting ability. At the same time, he's got a lot of big league innings now, and the strikeout rate and the walk rate aren't that impressive. What do the Marlins see that make them maybe think that this guy is more than his performance has been thus far, or that they can kind of close that gap between the performance and the tools?
Yeah, I think Marlins Park kind of helps, you know, a big ballpark that, you know, could work to his favor. But really good points about, you know, missing bats and swing and misses. And, you know, they're just going to have to hope also the age. You know, he's still a young guy and, you know, learning pitchability and things of that nature. And to make those tools translate into a little bit, you know, lower ERA and, you know, obviously try to miss some more bats as well.
So I'm sure that the Marlins did their homework on Cosart, but it did seem funny that the Astros would give up a pitcher with an arm like that. Are there any red flags that you've heard of why they would have been willing to trade him?
That's a good question, because I think in the same thing, as controllable young starters with potential upside going 95-plus aren't really moved a year, year and a half, or whatever into the big league career. You know, just reading Brian McTaggart's blog, they noted that, you know, they feel they have some young arms coming. And it's from their standpoint, you know, the deficiencies offensively that they're trying to shore up. And, you know, the Mariznick's an exciting player to take a chance on to bring up, because he could be close to big league ready right now, playing every day. Obviously, he'll do that there. So, you know, I feel from what I gather, they feel they have the depth. But I think that's pretty risky business as well, because we see how quickly depth goes in pitching. And, you know, the day after, whatever, the Marlins get Cosart and hopeful of him solidifying the rotation, as you noted, Henderson Alvarez goes on the DL. Big blow to their chances. So pitching is so precious, I was mildly surprised they'd give it up.
What is the read on Alvarez? I mean, he's been so good for them and such a good fit with guys catching the ball behind him, ground ball guy. What's the read on him for as the rest of the season goes?
Well, I mean, they're obviously hopeful that he's healthy. You know, he had a few scares along the way and never went to the DL. You know, he had an arm, sore forearm in, like, May when we were in Washington. He comes out of the game and you think he's going to the DL. He's back, like, they gave him, like, one day rest. And comes back and, like, throws a shutout. You know, so he's a remarkable athlete. The movement on his pitches is just really nasty. And he's a guy who doesn't strike out a ton yet. No one wants to face him. There are a lot of really bad swings on him, a lot of very weak contact. The ability to, you know, to compete, the way he helps himself with his glove and his bat. And his, you know, he's a guy. After when the season started, I thought could be a number two, but then he did so much inconsistent stuff. You say, is this a four or five? Yet, you know, when he puts it together, he's a really, really talented pitcher and an athletic pitcher. So the read on him is, on many teams, he could be a number one on the frontline team. He's probably putting himself as a no lower than a three and a bona fide two, and, you know, a deserving all-star. He wasn't just a guy that, you know, well, they needed a guy. You know, he had numbers on a team that wasn't doing so well that was deserving to be where he was. So very high-end guy. You know, he's still only, what, 24 years old as well.
And what's his status health-wise?
Well, they're saying, I mean, they're keeping their fingers crossed that shoulder is just flared up on him. And, you know, he's a pretty durable guy. You know, he did miss half last season, though. He started the season on the DL and then come back to June with a shoulder, but I don't think it's in the same spot. So, but these next few days, if he's not throwing, then, you know, if he's done for the year, then you're going to be asking them to dip into the minor leagues and throw innings on guys that they're hoping not to. So, they seem optimistic, but as we all know with pitching, until it's out there again, there's always reason for skepticism.
Does that affect what we were talking about earlier with this desire to be a contender, to get these to behave as a contender? They're doing without this guy for more than two starts. Does that affect, you know, waiver deals they might make or decisions they might make as this month goes by?
Oh, I think so, because these guys, they're always looking to deal anyway. You know, so they're not a real big stand pat type of team. And if they feel something makes sense, I wouldn't be shocked. If they go on a little bit of a run here, if this is a, you know, they're playing the center now with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati coming up. If they can make some noise in this road trip and then they got with St. Louis coming back home, if they feel they have a fighting chance, I think they're going to do everything possible to try to get somebody. But, you know, they are being very mindful. It would probably be something like we just saw, you know, something that's not going to hurt their long-term future without bringing someone in that can help for the future.
Joe, it's great to have a rotation full of good young arms, but one of the minuses is that a lot of these guys haven't pitched a lot of innings in a year. What's the level of concern that some of these young pitchers, Voldy, Cosart, pitchers like that, are getting to the point where they are going to exceed the limit of how many, or not the limit, but the number of innings they pitched previously?
Yeah, that's to me the biggest concern. And I think mid-September on, if they, you know, kind of slide out of it, I think you're going to see a lot of guys shut down. But who's going to come up? You don't have a lot of veterans. You're going to be asking double-A, triple-A guys to try to get you through 18, 20 games. I think they say they got a plan. They're monitoring it all. But like you say, until you're at 200, you're not at 200. And, you know, Kohler's in that mix. And, you know, whether it's a Jacob Turner or a Brad Hand, but a lot of these guys are going to be in uncharted waters pretty fast. So, you know, it's, as you say, you don't want to break next year what you were starting to build on this year, and that's going to be a good juggling act the rest of the way.
There's a lot of there's been a lot of talk about trading for Giancarlo Stanton. I think other teams are now getting the strong impression that he's not available. There seem to be indications that he's buying into what the Marlins are doing. Then the next step, of course, is for the Marlins to lock him up. Any indications that could be coming, say, before next year?
Well, we kind of break this one down. So, for one, he was never going anywhere. He was always really coming from outside rather than in. Yes, the Marlins have always, you know, they want to sign him long-term. They're hoping he's buying in, but it's going to take, you know, two to get the deal done. I still think there's a lot of work to be done. I think that's going to be, a big storyline in baseball in this offseason, whether or not they can get him done, whether he is buying in or not. And I think it may come down to the Marlins, if they want to retain him, being really stubborn and saying, look, we could carry you all the way through. And, you know, we could take you all the way through 16 if need be, but we really want you to embrace being the face of this franchise. I don't see a 10-year, $250 million deal. I would see more of a 6-year and whatever the math is between Freeman and Trout's contract, something like that. But, you know, he's going to be the focus point and probably one of the most popular guys in the offseason. But from what I sense, knowing all parties and all involved, I know the Marlins would get the deal done. They would make a phone call to Joel Wolf and get it done right now and, you know, pick the dollar figure and try to get there. But I'm not sure Stanton is in that spot right now.
Marlins are getting ready to go on what should be an interesting road trip through the Central. Thanks for taking some time with us, Joe, here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan.